who's a good singer? Brother Darrell. Remember whenever they used to come, him and Miss Alex sang? Of course, now she got married, and that kind of cut him out. No. Now they sing, yeah. I guarantee you right now they sing. I want to hear them again, too, real soon, and all that business there. But, yeah, I was just sitting there thinking, and somebody brought that up at the house. And, you know, and all that. And what a good singer that Brother Darrell is. And, hey, good preacher. I'm not taken from that. But, you know, see, he could go across the country singing and preaching. Me, I'm just doing the best I can. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of 2 Peter. Let me get this. Is it on? Last time I went the whole service, didn't ever turn it on. This time, all right, 2 Peter chapter number 2, if you'll find the place there. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by the reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them into hell, and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person of preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, and making them an ensample to those that should after live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, and vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He said, for this righteous man, that righteous man dwelleth among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned, we pray. And Lord, may you save the lost and those that are near his tail. And revive the saint of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, and I wanted to use to be able to the whole chapter, this Bible said that whenever you begin to look into it, this crowd that we're talking about that's wicked, ungodly, they're a religious crowd. Verse 13 tells you that there's spots that are in the feast with us. They're busy about their business by their own deceivings. They're not just deceiving others, they deceive themselves. And he says, and while they feast with you, they've got eyes full of adultery in verse 14, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. They said a heart of exercise with covetous practice, cursed children. That's where we're at in the day and hour we're living in. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to make a statement. There's no such thing in the Bible as a four-year, five-year-old kid getting born again. No such thing as that in the Bible. You can look, well, I know some churches. Yeah, I know some too that are going just as straight to hell as they can go. There's no such thing as that in the Bible. See? There's just not one. In this Bible lesson, you'll find is that you're looking at and you'll see that what the Bible does say, they must finally come to a place of knowledge to where they've got understanding about who Jesus is, about who they are, and about what Jesus did. And until they can come to that understanding knowledge. We got some pretty smart kids that are in here. I guarantee you, they don't have a clue they're a sinner. They know their mom and daddy is, and by the way, they may know something about their mom and daddy, but they don't know about themselves yet. Here's what I want you to notice, that in this lesson here, they're listening to people that are wells, verse 17, without water. These are people that love the wages of unrighteousness, verse 15. They're wells without water, verse 17. They speak great swelling words of vanity that allure through the lust of the flesh. And then in verse number 19, they promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. In other words, we've got a bunch of people out there. I call them house junkies, and I call them a bunch of bow your head, repeat a prayer junkies. But I got to tell you right now is they promise liberty to those they're dealing with, and they themselves don't even have it. That's what he said. I want you to notice something else. This Bible said that when you begin to look into it, in verse number 21, he said, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, as he said, the dog has returned to his own vomit and the sow to the wash of the wallowing of the mire. I want to preach to you for a little while on a subject. Here's a sermon that I got back in 1984. I may have spoken on part of it every now and again up and down the road of life, but here's a sermon entitled Baptist Wide World of Sports. That's where we're at in the day and hour that we're living in. You know what's happened, don't you? They're full of games and they're full of merchandise and they've got full of gimmicks and they're trying to get a bigger crowd. And let me tell you right now is that you'll find that God said that the Apostle Paul, we didn't use anything like that. When they were making merchandise of you, we've never tried to make merchandise of you. Let me say to you that make no mistake about it, something's gone wrong in the field and the glowworm's taking the place of the burning bush. Something's going on, isn't it? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out is that the whole measure of spirituality has dropped to low and dropped to nothing. And let me say to you, there's been millions of dollars that have been appropriated and for a degenerate religious crowd. You can see them all the time on TV. You know what's wrong, don't you? Baptists have become business-like, and they're more interested in business and making money and getting a bigger crowd. They've become a joke. Now, there ain't no wonder that so many people have got to where they just don't believe God in the Bible. Because let me tell you, it has become a joke. The Baptist preachers that we know up and down the road of life, I know some of them that I've known for 25 and 30 years. I've heard them numerous times, and they've never said nothing with a chapter, book, and verse out of the Bible. They just don't. They don't care. You know why? It's too rough. It's too tough. I guarantee you, whenever you begin to look into this Bible here, you begin to recognize and realize and know that what they want to do is their main aim is to make another profession. Now, I want to say and be clear, I realize that, that even in a crowd this size, that every now and again somebody may have a doubt that arises. And that's normal. That's a battle of the mind. It's a battle. I mean, I realize that, that happens. But let me say to you that, if you will, it makes you feel miserable, doesn't it? Sure it does. Not knowing if you're in or out, up or down, so forth and on. But I'm not talking, it's not wrong for every now and again that happens. What is wrong? When some numbskull joke of a preacher comes along and tries to use that to intimidate you into making a profession of faith. They don't really care, you know, in the day and hour that we're living in. Way back then, somebody made another profession at a meeting, and they give their testimony, and of course this is the first time that they've really realized they weren't saved. And they've gotten to the place where they realize that, that they need something. These are people that are ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And by the way, let me say to you that, if you will, that here's someone every now and again is going to be able to be coaxed down the aisle, make a profession. And that's why they went to child evangelism. You know, Baptists, whenever I say something about 3, 4, 5-year-old kids, Baptists will always say, well, you know, I don't believe in infant baptism. That's getting pretty close right there, honey. Getting pretty close to it. That's Roman Catholicism. It don't matter if you are practicing it in a Baptist church. I wanted to say to you that when you begin to look into it, you'll find is that there's no doubt about it that what they're doing is there's too many of them want to make a sport, make a game out of it. I can remember back before they died and went straight to hell. I can remember Jack Hiles, and if he ain't in hell, there ain't one. God bless you. Thank you very much. Boy, there's a bunch of heart attacks happening among Hilesites across there. I want to tell you right now, Jerry Falwell, of course, his boy, you know, is a whoremonger. Might be even worse than that. But I can remember when Jerry Falwell and Jack Hiles competed to have 100,000 in Sunday school, and buddy, the extreme and the means and the method that they went to is just a big joke. It's a laughing stock. I know some people that went to schools there. Old brother Mark Thrift, he went to school at Hiles Anderson, met his wife there. Some of you girls, if you want to get a husband, you may have to start going to college somewhere. But let me just say to you, though you found somebody, don't mean it's going to be a... Do you realize that, though, the only way you're ever going to know if your marriage is going to be good or bad is after you get married?
You're right.
Yes. It's not going to be before. I guarantee you right now is that if you... And he's saying you're right. I could ask her and I could say, hey, is he telling it right? And because she didn't know for sure he was going to be a good man and good provider and love God and serve the Lord till after they got married. See that? Some of you are sitting around, you know, I think he'll be a good, you know. Yeah, you think he will? Can you afford to buy him another earring to put in his ear? See that? You and I can see somebody up and down the road of life, and we can think, man, what a cute couple, and they are. And whatever you can see visibly is not going to make or break it, but they're life together, friend. Time's going to tell that. I guarantee you, Miss Alex, with these two little cute kids right now, she's just realized what a great man God's given her. Yeah. He knows it too, see. I want to say to you, whenever you get ready, and girls, by the way, and boys alike, make no mistake about it, while you're dating, the best behavior will be while you're dating. But if you catch him lying and cheating and conniving and stealing and robbing, guess who they're going to do that to and rob whenever they finally get the nut tied? God bless you, it's not going to get better, I can tell you that. When you begin to look in, now I know, I feel bad too, and I know you're. You see what I'm telling you? If you're not careful, though, you won't believe what God had to say. Listen, this crowd just wanting to try to kick another soul through the goalpost of life so they can win the game. That's what the Baptist wide world of sports about. I remember years ago, whenever there was a. I want to say that he married one of the daughters of the house, and he was over at Longview Baptist Temple. And not the guy that started, I knew him, but Longview Baptist Temple is a pretty good-sized building and all of that. And back then, we're talking about 35, 40 years ago, back then they boasted that they were running 400. And they went out on a soul-winning deal, won a bunch of 3 to 5-year-old kids, and got a bunch of them coming down the aisle. And they won 400 one month. They won 400 the next month. Now keep close and tab with me. They had 400, then they added 400, and then they added another 400. Is that 1,200 by our math? Yes. And then I asked them, well, how many you got running now? 400? Must be the new math, huh? I did an article on that way back when. Boy, you talk about people mad as the devil. You know why? Because they don't want the truth of God. That's exactly why. If you're going to go out here, and I'm going to tell you this, I get somebody to bow their head, repeat a prayer, and if I see them come forward, if God does, he'll put them in the house of God, in the family of God, and you haven't got to run after them every 30 days like the FBI is hunting them. See that? In this day and hour that we're living in, you begin to find out is that Baptists have gotten to where that they're involved in strictly this business of doing what they can to try to lie and cheat and connive somebody into the kingdom of God.
Yes,
now, you know, I've already told you, if my wife's lie ever lied, I hadn't caught her yet. I say some of you like that too. You lying women, God bless you, but shame on you. I mean, you know, it'd be a little bit of lie like this right here. And Don't you tell your daddy I let you do that. He said no. Well, if you want to raise somebody fit for nothing but hell, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and be an underminer. The very one person that God said that you're married to, that you could blaspheme the Holy Ghost of God. It's pretty serious with God, isn't it? I can just see you now, you know, if you're not careful, a man gets up there and, well, you know, Lord, you knew what I was married and all that. If you knew how she was, oh, you think you're going to fill in God? Well, yeah, if you knew how he was, you see how he was. Do you know how he is? I want to say to you that, if you will, that in the Baptist church, we're not bringing up children in the love and nurture and admonition of the Lord. In the day and hour that we're living in, you know what's wrong with the average Baptist church? People are sitting around and playing on their phone or playing on their computer. I don't see anybody doing that here this morning. But let me tell you right now, it sure is hard to shut down them porn sites, isn't it? I don't really give a two-hoot, the man said in Arkansas, what you're doing, but God knows already what you're doing. You have no interest in God, the Bible, good, right, and moral, and decent. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you begin to find out is that the word of the Lord, it don't matter if it's hitting me or it's hitting you or who it's fit, but you know, among Baptist preachers, they're fine, amen, 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 until you get on their friend. Oh, well, I didn't know you was going to get on him. I've always liked him. You know, the average Baptist, the reason why there's so many deadheads out there that are just talkers is because that's what people really like. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said there are false teachers that bring in damnable heresies. Hey, who do you think they're going to damn? They're going to damn your children to hell. That's what they're doing. This Bible said the way of truth is evil spoken of. Notice, if you will, by feigned words. That means they're masquerading, and they know exactly which button to push. They know exactly what to be able to tell you. And what they're doing is they're making merchandise of you. I can name you some of them old preachers way back when. You know, they'd come to town. They have the gospel punch board. Joe Boyd, he was one of them. And I can remember whenever old brother Dub Hendricks used to have him. And he'd get people in. He'd get them coming in. They'd stick sometimes a $100 gift card underneath the pew. And you had to pack a pew and fill a pew and this and that. I just said, puke. Man, what a mess that is. See what I'm telling you? In this Bible lesson you're looking at, they've got feigned words. And you know what it does when you get somebody to bow their head and repeat a prayer that God ain't doing nothing with? You have just made that person twofold more the child of hell than yourself. So if you want to go ahead and get your baby to crawl up to you and make a dumb profession, go ahead and make them twofold more the child of hell. Go ahead and make them where it's hard to reach them whatsoever. You see that? I want to tell you something. This Bible saying is that they've also gotten coupled with. Some preacher told me, and I had the audacity. And here's what he said. You know, I don't preach on none of that stuff. A lot of that stuff, you just keep loving people to the Lord, it'll fall off. I thought, my word, what spaceship did you fall out of? How stupid can you be? This Bible said that when you begin to look into it, is that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, you'll find it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the Bible tells us that over there in the book of James is that when lust is finished, it brings forth death. Pay close attention. Just recently, people that I've known practically all their lives, people that I've known is that now here's a young man that's up in his 20s. And he comes home and he's about to commit suicide because he's hooked on pornographic material. Now, I'm not telling you that if you had a little porn laid out here, like, you know, I don't know, whatever one of those books are, I don't know, and since what's his name, Hugh Hefner, since he died and went to hell, do they have Playboy anymore? Well, I wouldn't expect you to volunteer and know it anyway. Has it lost its quality and appeal? If there's a picture of a naked woman here and you marched every man by here, some of us are going to look twice. So I'm not talking about that. I'm not telling you that's all right. I'm not telling you go ahead and do it. I'm just trying to tell you that's the way a red-blooded American man is made in the day we live in. But let me say to you that, if you will, that whenever you get to where you've got to look and look and then imagine and then cultivate it, and then try to find out if they've got more of the same, Wonder if she's got a sister. Wonder if her mother poses sometime. I wonder if. I'm going to tell you something. Here's what you're doing. You're finally getting to the place to where you're just not only hooked, but you become addicted, and you're trying to fan the flames of that flesh. This young man came home, didn't know what to do. He was beside himself. He'd done heard enough preaching to be able to save the world. And yet he's come home now, and he's about ready to commit suicide. That's what it finally does when it hooks you in deep enough. Sin will make you want to commit suicide and kill yourself because of the fact you feel like there's just no way out for me. I don't think we got any of that here, but thou knowest. And this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find is that whenever you read those passages that are over there, God tempteth no man with evil. And the Bible said that lust is comes of our own self, and you the only one can stop it. But when it's finished, if you wait and let the devil finish it, you'll be dead. This Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, this world by their filthy conversation. You know what TV's done? It's turned every home into a Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, if you go out and get rid of your TV, you're still going to have a computer that's got more and worse on it. You're still going to have a cell phone that's got more and worse on it. You're going to have to finally take charge of your own heart and your own life. You understand me? And then whatever you do and whatever decision you make, hey, some of you boys, some of you girls, whatever decision you make in life, you're going to have to live with. You're going to have to face the consequences of it. You're going to have to put up with it. Listen, if it's a bad deal, make no mistake about it. It's not easy to be able to get your way worked back out of a bad situation. Then it'll follow you the rest of your life. I'm going to ask you this right here. I was talking about a young man a while ago that was in a bad way, wanted to kill himself. Let me ask you this here. Now he's married. How'd you like to be the young lady on the other end of that? You know why? Because I tell you what I know, is that, buddy, this flesh may not bother you right this minute, but it's going to very soon. That right there is not going away real easy. I'll tell you something else I noticed. I know about a gal that slept with everybody under the sun, finally got pregnant out of wedlock, got rid of those babies. But I'm going to tell you something, fellas. Pay close attention. Whenever you find a young lady that slept with everybody in the community to where now her nickname's Linoleum, because everybody's later, she's not going to change that anytime soon. Hey, what about you fellas? You want to run up and down the road like some kind of gutter rat? You want to run with everybody you possibly can? You want to sleep with everybody, get all the notches you can on your belt. I mean, Magic Johnson, you know, before he got AIDS, he'd done slept with over 1,000 women. So you go out there and run up and down the road like that and do all you can, and then you want to stand before God with the preacher and be there and get you a little virgin gal while you've been running like a wild ass's colt up and down the road of life. And you expect somehow or another that that's going to be fine. I'm going to tell you, the wages of sin is still down. And in this day and hour that we're living in, you'll find more of it in independent Baptist churches than you will anywhere else up and down the road of life. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, I said to you that the filthy conversation of the world has infiltrated our homes, no doubt about that. This Bible said they're walking after the flesh, verse 11 of our text. And let me tell you what right now is that they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities, this Bible says. And what you have to realize and know is that you're going to finally get to the place to where that you'll just be another statistic on some preacher's belt. And he can go home and tell after an evangelistic meeting, he can tell how he's helped everybody, how he got everybody saved. I've been to places, buddy, whenever I sat there, I knew that was a queer, that was a lesbian, that was, and those preachers, buddy, preached all week long and hooped, lawed, and had a good time and never said one thing about it. the day and hour that we're living in, no wonder we're perishing. In verse number 12, whenever you look at it and you see it there, the Bible says natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. He said they speak evil of things they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And I'm going to tell you something right now, and I appreciate it every now and again being able to find a good meeting to go somewhere. But I'll tell you, I'm more than a little gun shy because I know what goes to these meetings. I've seen some of these child molesters that were in the meeting that didn't come out till years later. I can remember exposing a man. He's dead and in hell now. If he ain't, I don't know why you'd get there. For molesting and going after a little old 13-year-old Negro girl. And he was one of the main speakers. I remember whenever there was a preacher that resigned because he wanted to tell his big congregation, much larger than us, that he was a sodomite, that he was a queer. And the same day he exposed all of that, five other preachers that were running buddies did the same thing. How'd you like to be one of these days standing before God and somebody that you have looked at and looked up to and as a result and led your family with, and find out they're nothing but a pervert? Can you see what I'm telling you? In this Bible lesson, by the way, whenever you begin to look into it, they no doubt they've got themselves wanting to sport and have just a game. I remember one of them saying, well, we're going to have this many and another, and let's compete and have that many. Why don't you just preach the gospel? Why don't you pass out a tract, give a gospel tract, invite some? Why are you trying to build a name for yourself? In this Bible lesson you're looking at is that you're going to find out. Some of them, back then I did an article and I made fun of them, and because they ought to be made fun of. It's like they need somebody to make a yell. Here's your yell. Fight, fight, fight with all your might. We don't care if it is right. Get them sinners and bring them in. Work real hard, we're bound to win. That's a good yell, isn't it? Hi, here's another one. 1, 2, 3, 4. Beat more doors in 24. That's coming up around the corner. I used to have them call me up, buddy. I'd like to give you a piece of my mind. I said, save it. As ignorant as you are of the scriptures, you're going to need every piece you've got. Oh, yeah, I've been threatened to be whipped and this and that. And I could be. I can probably be. I know the devil's got me whipped down a whole lot. I got to tell you, is that here's one. I've got several of them, but I'm going to give you another one. Ice cream, hot dogs, doctrine's in the can. We need members, not holiness, man. Couldn't you see a bunch of little girls in a nice cheerleading uniform? Instead, though, it's the preachers. Razzle dazzle, get them too. Don't forget the latest scoop. Games and gum and Romans Road. Load them up, to church we'll go. See, it's just such a joke. No wonder so many people are saying, I just don't believe what God is doing among churches anymore. I got to tell you, it makes me pretty nauseous myself. I want to close, and I want to say to you that, if you will, this party in spirit, this playing game, and I'm not against playing a game. We got field day coming up. But we're not playing field day trying to get anybody in. We're trying to bring a little fun and entertainment to the kids we already got. Yes, trying to, let's come aside for a moment. Yes, to where that you and I can just get to the place. And by the way, I don't never, you know, out of all these years we've ever had that, I didn't care who was running and putting it together. God bless you. Thank you for the effort, the work, and all you've put in, and all the help and this and that. And you know, I've never one time thought, oh, they're cheating my grandkids out of this. I see how it works. I see how it works. Not one time have I ever done that. Now, I know you may be thinking that. I know you probably got some of that carnality and all. I mean, isn't it enough that your kid got to scream and play and run and holler and have a good time? Well, yeah, but it looks like I could have, one of mine win one time. I said, well, God bless you. God help you. That's kind of the way it is with preachers across the country that are in the Baptist church. I thought one of mine was going to win one time. I don't like to talk about her because she's not here and she's not feeling well. But let me just tell you right up front, friend. If you don't want your kids to be beat hands down, you better not stick them in a race where Madison Kirkendall's running. You talk about can put them boys in their place. Son, they ain't doing nothing but eating dust. Does that bother me? No. That tickles me as much to see her beat them boys and whip them down as it did to see Monica when she is able to pin old Nathan down. This whole business that we're all winners, junk that, friend. They need to be able to smell victory and suffer the agony of defeat every now. Yeah. We can't all be like Sam. He's out there playing basketball. What are you doing? Playing basketball with these kids? Man, I smoked Andrew. Andrew, you're bragging about. Well, he wanted to play. There's a boy sitting right there. He was at the house one day. It's been way back when. He wanted to play a game with me, basketball. We was playing basketball. And I'm telling you right now, and I kept thinking now, remember, you're not Sam. Don't smoke him. Not let him win, actually, literally. You can ask the Lord when I get there. I went ahead and slacked off and let him have it. Oh, man, hey, you talk about walk around like a banty rooster. You talk about cock of the walk of the flat. I wouldn't take for it. I wouldn't take for it. I will say in closing that, if you will, there's a lot of fun, there's a lot of games, there's a lot of things that you and I could enjoy in life together. We could enjoy one another and all that business there. But let me tell you is that there's not anything going to be better than you being in fellowship with God when the trumpet sounds. I wonder this morning, do you know the Lord in the free pardon of sin? Is there some thing God been hammering your soul about? Well, you just listen to him while we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us. There's some man, woman, a boy, girl across the country somewhere this morning that you're pounding heavily upon their heart's door. Thou knowest every need we have. I pray you'd meet that need and finish the message in every heart. We want to say thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. Now bless, I pray, as we get ready to depart from here, bring us back safely tonight. Let Brother Darrell preach with the power of God on him. And then Brother Eddie on Wednesday. Lord, I praise you and thank you. Thou art God. Beside thee, there is none else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shake hands with